Ladies and gentlemen, girls and boys, welcome to the Brad and Bunny Basketball Podcast, featuring former Sydney Kings captain and multimedia performer Brad Rosen, alongside Australia's longest-serving basketball writer and blogger, Buddy Nodge, and me, Gilar the Invincible, the voice of a man you just had to have. Now, talking all things NBL and WNBL, here's Bradley.
Another cracking round of the WNBL and NBL, Body. What was your highlight of the week?
For the WNBL, for mine, it was Keely Froling playing for the Canberra Capitals. That's how important it was that they beat Adelaide to get that second spot ahead of Melbourne, that she came back. This is 2 weeks after having her nose broken and a fractured cheekbone, having her face fixed. There was some talk about her playing with a mask. She didn't. She played without a mask. That's how important it was. That's how courageous she is. She comes from that Froling family. They are a bunch of let's call them hard nuts. And they won the game, 73-71. And I just think she's an exemplary player in terms of just showing how tough you can be. What about yourself? WNBL? Yeah, what about you?
Yeah, that Froling family is as tough as hell, isn't it? They're just, everyone wants them on their team. For me, Body, I'm going to shock you. The Southside Flyers, 17-4. Hey, they came up big. Shock. Let's be honest. They're brilliant. Okay, I've got my shirt on. My chest is pumping out. My Flyers girls, 17-4. They take on the Body Nudge Lightning in a couple of weeks' time. Credit goes where credit goes. Well done to the Flyers. I'm worried because obviously one, if not their best player, is not playing. But I'm behind the girls. Well done, 17-4. Great way to wrap up. Do we call it the minor championships, minor premier. No, what do you call it?
I've seen them calling it that minor premiership. We don't have premierships in basketball.
No, but it's a minor championship.
That's a football. No, it's the regular season championship. That's
all right.
What it is. Regular season champs. This whole minor premiership nonsense, that's a footy thing. You win a footy premiership. You don't win basketball premierships. You win championships. Use the right terminology, for God's sake. The game didn't kick off. It tipped off.
God. You're just angry because the Lightning didn't get there. Well done, the Southside Flyers.
I'm just angry.
WNBL wrap time.
Well, the WNBL wrap time, we finished the round. We've finished the season. Of the regular season, I should say. And we now know who's going to play. And we knew this for a while. Body, I'm going to throw it at you. You picked it. You said you thought the Capitals would get home court advantage. They have come second. Boomers third. And the Lightning four. And as I said, my Southside Flyers in number one. So we've got a week's break. And you can talk about that in a second. And then we come back. Flyers versus Lightning, Capitals versus Boomers. Very briefly, good wins to those teams this week. Adelaide just getting Perth. Capitals over Adelaide again. So that was a good win by the Capitals so they could get that spot. Over to you.
Yeah, well, I think the finals is going to be about which team stays healthy because every one of them is going through something. I mean, we've already touched on the Froling situation at Canberra and Kelsey Griffin's just come back from an extended time on the sidelines. So, the week off will probably do them good in terms of while the Opals are away playing in the FIBA window for the final qualification series for Tokyo Olympics. Probably do them good. They get healthy. We've got Lindsay Allen, who's been missing a few games now. They got a few minutes into her in the last game when they were flogging Perth. Originally, they said she was suffering from some soreness, but it's been a few weeks she's missed now, so not sure that they're being completely forthright there. Moving right along, we've got Southside, obviously, without Jenna O'Hay with a broken wrist that she's had surgically repaired.
Is that, and that, I mean, really, that's the biggest loss. Everyone else might be carrying injury. She's not playing.
Yeah, no. Well, Nicole Seacamp is the captain of the Lightning. She had a 20-assist game a couple of weeks ago. She did a serious ankle injury, turned it at right angles. Her foot was at right angles to her leg when she actually injured the ankle. And she had to withdraw from this Opals team. She was in for the tournament in Borgs. And, that looks like a 5 or 6 week injury, so we may not see her again. So that's a substantial – so that's what I'm saying. Every team is dealing with something. And it's just who's going to be able to put a healthy team out there? That's a team that you got to favour. I mean, quietly, I actually did think Lightning was going to surprise everybody as they did last year when they sort of snuck in at fourth and then knocked Melbourne Boomers out. quick smart, even though they lost all the way all throughout the season.
Well, you did say that a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, you did say that a couple of weeks ago. I assume you're still picking Lightning to beat the Flyers in that three-game series.
No, I'm not quite so sure now because Seacamp's significant. She's as significant to them as Jenna O'Hay is to Southside. Yeah. So, you know, we're talking and as significant as Lindsay Allen is to Melbourne and as Kelsey Griffin was to Canberra. So we have a very interesting series coming up, and maybe next week we'll have a clearer picture after everyone comes back from playing in France.
Yeah, just, please, please, God, no one gets injured. I did read something whilst the ankle sprain was sickening. There's no question on that on Seacamp, and it ruled her out of this Opals trip. They're saying she is expected. Well, number one, it hasn't no serious damage, so that's good. But she's expected to be there for the opening game. Now, of course, every coach and club's going to say that, but I really hope that she's there because we just want the best players playing.
Absolutely, you do. But she'll be right for Olympic selection when that comes up, presuming they're going to win in France or win enough games in France to get through, which they should. They're the number one seed there. And the only real tough game should be France. They've got Puerto Rico and Brazil. And Brad, as you know, they've only got to finish top three. So they just got to win one game, basically.
Yeah, they're going to do that.
So I think Nikki will be right for that. But I'm not confident. And in talking to the
Chris Lucas,
he wasn't all that confident.
I just want to take your mind to the bottom four quickly. I know we're talking playoffs and everything, but I think, you know, we should talk about the Lynx, the Flames, the Spirit, the Fire. Do you feel what team would come out of that and go, that was a really bad season? Now, obviously, no one likes to miss playoffs, but some teams would realise with the depth they got. Where do you think, or do you think they were all where they should have been?
No, I think Lynx, Spirit and Fire should be very disappointed with the way their seasons panned out. They had much higher expectations, much higher aspirations. I think the Sydney Flames, you've got to just feel sorry for them because so many key players got injured during the season with serious injuries, starting off with missing Brittany Smart. Then Colleen Planetta was going well. She was out of it with an ACL. And we had Talia Tapia in and out. You had Alice Kunick, who was having a great season, out. You know, it was just... So for what they were able to do under those circumstances, for what Katrina Hibbert was able to do in her first season as a WNBL coach, I think she should be, I mean, they wouldn't be well pleased, but she should be satisfied and think, okay, we had a lot of things go wrong and next year, hopefully they won't. But with the others, like Perth expected to be playing in the finals. So I think Andy Stewart will be under the pump back in the West. Shannon Seabohm, yeah, I don't know how well, you know, you can consider their season up in Townsville. They've had some injury issues too, even before the season started. And then when we turned to Bendigo, I think you saw that there's problems, many problems within that team, sacking the import in front of the rest of the players and the import having a few words to say then. And a lot of the players agreeing with her and going around to console her at her house. So there were fractures in that team. So there's a fair bit to do for three of the four teams, but Sydney just needs to keep itself together. They were on the right path.
It's NBL Wrap Time.
Well, we are at it again. The NBL has just completed round 18. Boddy, I'm pretty sure you picked the card bar couple, maybe one.
The first but one, the I didn't. Biggest I didn't, one, yep.
The biggest one, oh, that's true. Yeah, the biggest one I want to put out is you said it a couple of weeks ago. The New Zealand Breakers will play Brisbane, and that game will determine the four. And the way it's looking, you've picked it like a treat.
Yeah, I expected them to the Breakers to lose in Perth. I thought they'd take it right up to the Wildcats, and they did, lost by a point. And then a lot of people, of course, then said, oh, well, you know, they're 11 and 13, they're gone again. And I said that would be premature because I figured they would beat Adelaide and they would beat Illawarra, which would get them back to 13-13. And you look at, and they did that. Now you look at Brisbane on 14-11. They play New Zealand. That's the big game because if New Zealand was to win that, they would go to 14-13 and Brisbane would drop to 14-12. Brisbane's next game in the same round, this round coming up, is Perth, in Perth. Not an easy thing. They could easily be 14-13, the same as New Zealand, 14-13, in which case they'd flip because New Zealand's percentage is slightly better. So this is a massive weekend in terms of determining that fourth spot. The other three are done. And, of course, Melbourne United fans would probably still want to believe they're in the hunt. They've got a pretty good run home. But
I'll just jump in there as well, just to for our listeners. The next round after that, and if it was tied, New Zealand would be at home against the Phoenix and Brisbane would be at home against Cairns. So you'd like to, you know, basically New Zealand win, they're in. So yeah. Huge weekend, but, oh, man, I can't wait for this. I just want to ask your opinion there. Melbourne United went over, well, sorry, beat Perth in Melbourne. Perth were atrocious, 67 points. That's just, they seem to do that, Perth, sometimes. I don't get that with this team, but then they
go home 110. Hang on a second. Be patient and put it in context. You're going to play a team, an important game over in Melbourne, and before the game, Tarico White is a withdrawal. Now, does that...
Yeah, they got enough to score more than 67, though.
Well, you take out a guy that gets you 15, 20 on a consistent basis. You haven't got Damian Martin still. So, you know, I thought there were moments in that game where Melbourne should have been putting them away, like really putting them away, and they were just hanging around. They got back to a couple of points a few times there. I thought it was an okay performance. I was disappointed, though, because... And I think you'd be the same. Had we known that Tarico wasn't going to play, which they didn't know till right to the death knell, he was there, we probably would have maybe leaned towards Melbourne. So that's the one we got wrong.
Yeah, look,
I wasn't disturbed by that. No, they came out.
Oh, okay, let's put this in the context. Good. Yeah, let's put this in the context. It's not a problem they lost, so they could have got top spot if they won both, but that's irrelevant. Yeah. It's not a problem they lost. I just didn't think they played well. That's they scored 67 points. They went 3 of 20. From the three-point line. Yeah. Bryce Cotton, who to me is the MVP of the league, but he's got 21 points from 20 shots. Now, he had to shoot 20 because who else is going to? Yeah. Plumlee, you know, got into foul trouble and stuff, but I just didn't think they played.
Plumlee's foul trouble. Come on, Brett. He had two fouls in the first 2 minutes and 29 seconds. I think the second foul was a foul, but the first one was just nothing. He's setting the screen and David Barlow throws himself on the floor and he's got a foul. I'm thinking, come on, you know, be real here.
Anyway, yeah, look, I hear what you're saying, but, you know, then you get Clint Stein to 1-9 off the field.
It was awful. He was awful.
So, and that's my point, what I say about Perth. They just didn't play well. Now, it's not a problem. You know they're going to go home, and, yeah, they got a win. Everyone predicted them to beat Sydney, certainly when Bogut and Lazada was out. But for a team, I love Perth, right? I'm a big fan. I'm a massive fan of Damian Martin. But without Tarico White, without Damian Martin, they're still a better team than 67 points and 3 of 20 from the field. They're a better team than that, and that's why I thought they were poor.
Okay, but you've sort of just overlooked the Plumlee factor. You know, you think about the week before what he gave them, and you think what he was allowed to give them this week because he had two fouls. You know yourself, if you're playing and you got two early fouls and you have to sit down, the way you play the game, the rest of that game is compromised because you're just worried about picking up the third and, oh, there you go, you got your third. Now you got to go sit down again. And
especially
so
when there's five fouls as well. You're not playing six like we used to. Yeah, all right, so he you got effective. Me, my wife. Jeez, mate, I agree. All right, jeez, it's like talking to my wife. I just accepted you. I'm wrong. Just to shut this conversation up. Okay.
I'm just trying to be fair, which is something I've been trialing for a month, and it seems to be going okay.
The only fair thing on you is your head. All right, moving on. Let's just talk about let's talk about New Zealand's win against Illawarra.
Yeah, well, I think you not want to address that later?
Yeah.
Because I think the NBL's decision in calling the game and giving the result because of the fact that for the benefit of those few listeners who wouldn't know what happened that the roof leaked.
We only have a few listeners.
Don't be like that. No, I'm not buying that. I reckon we're tickling three figures. Anyway, not three people.
You mean figures. Zero in front. Now you're putting a zero in front of it, are you?
That's a figure, isn't it? Jeez. but yeah, look, you saw this, you've seen this before. If you've played in more than half of the game and then the result can stand. And I hate to bring this up, but if you think back to when we had the mayhem in Manila between the Australian team and the Filipino team, they kept playing. I mean, the Philippine guys all fouled out, but they once the result was there at, I think it was halfway through the third quarter, three quarters of the way through the third quarter, there was a particular score, and that became the final score. And so that's a FIBA thing. I think the NBL has done the right thing. The idea of having to fly the breakers back for another game in the Wynn Entertainment Center, or play it on from where they finished, all those other options were pretty ordinary.
So, yeah, that's the one I want to jump in with. The NBL did exactly the right thing, exactly what it should do. You can't ask New Zealand to play again, fly them whatever they got. They got that win. Let's be honest, they weren't going to lose that game.
No,
it didn't even close. And it's the right thing. I was actually in Cairns, calling the Cairns-Brisbane game a couple of years ago when the power went out.
Right.
And that was the same thing. I think that was a minute to go in the third or something, and Brisbane were up only by about eight or so, and Brisbane got the win. It's too difficult. But I tell you, Cairns Convention Centre, when that power went out and I was in a bag of fruit, the good old suit, that we had a tie back in those days working on the commentary booth. Oh, right. Man, did that place get hot quickly.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
man.
I heard I didn't want to bring this up on air, but I thought that you started to charge your phone on the one little power board they had, and that was the thing that took it over the top. So I didn't think you'd reference that, but there you go. Now that you have,
I did do that. And if you look closely on the camera, you'll see me riding the bike to try and get the electricity working so they could play the game.
Yeah, except it wasn't plugged in. Stationary bikes have to be plugged in. Anyway.
All other games went as expected. New Zealand won. Cairns won at home. Good win by Brisbane. Melbourne season done. I actually thought Melbourne were going to win that. I really did. I think I predicted it last week. And they looked like they had it. Was it 15, 16 up, whatever it was? Brisbane, kudos to them. Great win. Anything you want to add to that game?
No, nothing at all. I think I think the results went as expected. I expected Brisbane to win that, but yeah, there were moments in that game where I thought, they're in trouble.
Yeah, Perth winning at home was great. Good to see Kevin Lish back. First play of the game, bang, hits a three. Nice to see that going on. And I thought South East Melbourne were pretty poor, but Adelaide were good enough. Randall doing Randall things and got the win. So we go now, obviously, to this week's round, and that's what I'm really looking forward to. I'm going to start straight into it. Friday night, the game of the round. Brisbane, New Zealand, who you got?
Honestly, that is so difficult. They had that thriller there where Scotty Hobson hits the winner, where Brisbane had the game won and they turned the ball over, and then the unsportsmanlike foul gave Thomas Abercrombie two free throws and the possession got them the win. And it was like a really unlikely scenario that you just wouldn't script. I'm tempted to go with New Zealand, but I'm not sure if that's my head or my heart talking, because I've been so impressed with Brisbane. Six wins in a row, they would be feeling unbeatable, and it shows when you're that far down on a team like United, but you come back and you win, self-belief. So,
yeah,
honestly, it's a coin toss. I'm just going to slightly good.
Yeah,
it's a tough one. What do you think? What do you think? Enlighten me on your thoughts. Maybe that'll help.
I'm gonna, because I can see it. I can think to myself, I've been hard on Brisbane most of the year, but for the last few weeks, I've been really on them, and I think they've been great. And I think this will cap off what they've done. They've been great at home. They've made changes. They've done what they've done, and they're going to put the knife into New Zealand and get the win. On the other hand, I've been hard at different times at New Zealand, and they were an absolute abysmal team at the beginning
train
of the season.
Train wreck.
Absolute train wreck. And they made changes. And, you know, this coach is doing a good job. And
that's because he's not a coach, mate. He's a director of basketball.
Sorry. The coach is doing a good job because he's back in New Zealand. But the director of basketball, and I can think why both teams are going to win. It's just going to be a cracker game. I'm swaying to the utmost of Brisbane because they're at home. That's the only reason I can give it. But it would not faze me at all if New Zealand. I mean, how good has Abercrombie been? He was out, you know, he's just stepped up another level. And Finn Delaney and, you know, RJ Hampton, sorry, that's news out of New Zealand today as well. RJ's gone. So he's gone back to the States. So he's been with the Mellow Ball now and they've gone back. So for our listeners,
he's not around. Let's segue for a second, Brad. How serious do you think those injuries were? Or do you think their agents just pulled them down and said, like, you've been out too long. LaMelo, let's go home. RJ, let's go home.
My gut feeling is they were injured, and then they definitely could have played. Let's go. right? That's like there's no use. And if I'm a New Zealand breaker, if I'm an Illawarra, I would be go. You know, like I don't think those two. I mean, whilst it would have been great for the league to play, if they came in, they're not going to make dramatic differences to that team. I mean, LaMelo would make a difference, but it wasn't like they were winning with him.
No, right? They're still going to finish last. Yeah,
correct, right? So go, you know, like see you later, thanks. What an amazing job you've done for this league. Outstanding for Illawarra. Didn't love hearing the way he left LaMelo, you know, not saying goodbye to his teammates, which shocked me because all I've heard out of Illawarra is what a great team player he was. Yes. But I haven't actually spoken to anyone in Illawarra. When I see them next, I'm going to ask that. But Todd Blanchfield came out and said that, you know, he's a bit shocked. So it certainly seems that way. And with RJ Hampton, look, he's a great kid. I got to interview his dad, as I said before, and that was great. But that's the right thing. He hasn't played enough basketball to now come to a team that's trying to make the playoffs. Nah, move on. That's not going to be on. So to answer your question, I think it's the right thing.
Okay. Because the way New Zealand is at the moment, the way they're sort of settled in and now playing, I don't think getting him back was going to help. I thought it might have been unsettled the rotation. I mean, is Jared Weeks hurt at the moment?
Yeah, look, I know Jared personally as well. Now, he's carrying a bit of a shoulder injury, and if you look closely, you'll see him during games. He's always got some ice or heat packs and everything on there. Look, he's had a lot of basketball to log over the last few years. He played in Germany, then he came back and played at Illawarra. He spent a season down there. He then spent two seasons in Cairns, two seasons now in New Zealand, and each off-season he's playing. So he played in Hobart for the Seabull 1 year. Now I think he's played two seasons coming up to his third in the New Zealand NBL in the off season. So his body's hurting. And I actually think he's played probably a bit too much basketball. So I'd be interested to see how he goes. And I'll be certainly speaking to him soon, but he's a trooper. He's going to play, like, you know, I mean, I think it's okay. His shoulder as well. So there's no problems there.
Well, but, let's go. You're going with Brisbane. I'll go with New Zealand just for a point of difference. But, you know, that could easily be you go for New Zealand and I go for Brisbane. So, because that's going to be
this next game. This next game's the one that I can honestly say that you and I don't give a crap about. Melbourne versus Illawarra. Melbourne to win. Moving on. Saturday night, Adelaide versus Cairns at home. Will Cairns roll in there and keep steamrolling? What do you think?
Yes, they will. But here's the thing. I am predicting now that'll be the last game that Joey Wright coaches of the Adelaide 36ers in Adelaide, and the game afterwards in Perth will be his last game as the 36ers coach.
Ooh. Okay, his choice or club?
I think it'll be a mutual decision because he's still got 2 years to run his contract.
Right. That's interesting me because Jeff Van Groningen now is the, whatever his role is there, what is it, player personnel, CEO, what's his role there?
Oh, I don't know. He's a general manager in charge of basketball.
He's very close with Joey. And, you know, he stood by, you know, Andrew Gaze going through some bad stuff in Sydney. So it's not like Jeff's one to pull the trigger unless it's really needed. And, look, personally, man, who are they going to get better than Joey Wright?
Oh, that's right. That's right. They can only go in one direction, and that's downwards, because I don't believe that a high quality coach of the Rob Beveridge nature or the Sean Dennis nature. I mean, they're out there, Brad. You know, there are good coaches out there, but I don't think they'd want to come into this environment. I just don't think so.
I'll throw you one out of left field.
Go on.
China don't play anymore because of this virus. It'll take a while. The coronavirus, Brian Gorgian back from China, coaching Adelaide?
Oh, I think.
Hey, throw that out of left field. I haven't heard anything. I'm very close to Gorge. I want to put it out there. Nothing. It's crap. I'm not saying anything. But, hey, I just thought I'd throw it out there.
I'd be looking more. I think that they'd probably be more inclined to go for a Kevin Brooks, give him a try. You know, they might even look at Bevo. Frank Arcego. Bevo, I don't think Bevo would want to come here. I don't think this environment, this culture as it is at the moment, is not great. It's just not great.
That's, you know,
and they didn't do themselves any favors with the way they handled Mitch Creek. Mitch Creek and the owner got into a verbal altercation at the end of the game. I think the NBL's fined Mitch. You know, it's just not the greatest place to be.
It's a shame. is really what it is, a shame, because, you know, they've gone to the new entertainment center. They're rocking 9,000 people there. It looks great on TV. I haven't commentated there yet, but, you know, I commentated in the old venue, and whilst that was fun, this one looks like a massive step up. And it is a shame, because a good Adelaide 36ers is a great team. The Phoenix at home towards the Kings. Phoenix is one of those teams that you expect to win eventually, but they just don't look like it. Can they touch the Kings? I don't think so.
No. I think Sydney's look, they're safe in first place. They're not worried about losing first place. But I think now they'll want to pick up some form going into the finals. So they won't be holding back there. So I'm expecting Sydney.
And then the Brisbane Bullets buster, who is Bryce Cotton. Remember what he does to Perth, right? Sorry, he does to Brisbane. He loves hitting the daggers against them. I can still hear Lockie Reed, God bless him, hitting when Bryce Cotton hits that step back three last year or the year before, whatever it was, and he knocks down the three to win it. And, oh, my God, it was awesome. Just love Lockie Reed and that commentary that he did. But, look, Perth Wildcats, can't see them losing at home.
Well, that's the interesting thing, because Brisbane has beaten them a couple of times this season, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, they will go in there with no great fears. And Andre Lemanis has won an NBL championship in that building. So he goes in there with no great fears. You know, when they talk about they won 100 games there out of 126, I'd be interested to see how many of those 26 they lost Andre had something to do with. So I think that'll be closer than you expect. And again, the officiating is so important. You know, you throw Plumlee on 3 fouls in the first half. Perth's got to play differently. You know, Hodgson, he struggles the same with the referees. He's been better lately. So,
well, he's been good since Magnay. I like the big towers there, the 4-5 they're doing. I mean, Magnay's gone to another level. But, those two, I like what they're doing. It's a good job.
Brad, do you think people are going to ahead of themselves with Magnay? Because I don't think he's an NBA prospect at this moment.
No, he is going to the NBA next year. Like, I love the comments.
You're after, mate.
Yes, I agree. Can he make the NBA? Hell yeah. Yes. Will he? Yeah, I think so. But right now, I mean, let's put, more you know, the guy wasn't playing at the beginning of the season. He hardly played last year. He has been a dynamite, most improved. Dang, ticket, unbelievable. And he will be a stalwart for any team in the league. But I think it's a bit premature and probably a bit disrespectful to all the players currently in the NBA to think this kid's going to go to the NBA. But it wouldn't shock me if he did get it, like, you know, a summer league.
Yeah. No, I expect all that. That's part of the process,
Body, I'm going to come into something else. The NBL today have announced that the nominations for all, like, MVP and all the award-winning nights that's going to be carried out on February the 16th, which will be broadcast as live on ESPN and SBS On Demand, I believe, and NBL TV. And the Andrew Gaze MVP, they've named, which is normal. They give a lot of players. I'm going to run through them pretty quickly. There's 15 of them, and I want you to give me yours. But these are the players that one of these will win the MVP. Andrew Bogut, Bryce Cotton, Cam Oliver, Casper Ware, Daniel Johnson, DJ Newbill, Jerome Randall, John Roberson, Jayshon Tate, Lamar Patterson, Mitch Creek, Nick Kay, Scotty Hobson, Sean Long, and Scotty Machado. Your thoughts on that?
Did you not read out Bryce Cotton?
I did. He was second.
Okay. Yeah, I've got Bryce Cotton or Lamar Patterson, frankly. And I know there have been other players who have had great seasons but have missed portions of it, whereas Patterson, I think, has played all the way through. Bryce has played all the way through. I think that gives him an edge. I'm still sticking with Bryce. I think he's the best player in the league.
But
Lamar
Cotton
Patterson, not far behind.
Bryce Cotton and Daylight for me. Okay. Now, I love all these players, what they've done. Bryce has done it the whole year. Now, there might be the one game off or the two games off throughout the season, but every, whether it be a weekend or anything, I do agree with you. Lamar Patterson has been great, but he wasn't great at the beginning of the year.
No. He's coming home strong.
I thought Mitch Creek was probably the MVP of the first, you know, quarter maybe of the season. Great, but not of the season. So for me, Casper Ware, good. Bogut, good. Cam Oliver, wow. Scotty Machado, fantastic. And Scotty Hobson, but just not on the level of Bryce Cotton. So we both agree with that. Most improved player, Anthony Drimmick, Dane Pinot, Majok Den, Mirko Jerick, Sean Boos, Sunday Deck, Will Magnay.
That's a tough one. I think you can eliminate Drimmick. You can probably eliminate Deng, Jerick. But geez, the others, Brad Pinot, Sean Bruce, Will Manley. Well,
we came through here a couple of weeks ago and we asked it and we narrowed it down to four. Right. We did say Dane Pinot, Sean Bruce, Sunday Deck and Will Magnay. And when we spoke about that, they were all up there. With what I've seen over the last couple of weeks, to me, it's a standout for Will Magnay. Now, that's no disrespect.
He's come home strong. Yeah.
He has. Yep. I'd probably put Dane Pinot second because he's still at that caliber. Sean Bruce and Sunday Deck, what a fantastic season. But they haven't lifted as far as what Will has, in my opinion. And that's no disrespect to them. That just shows you how good Will's been.
Yeah, and it's no coincidence. They won their last six games in a row. They've been playing some great basketball. Patterson's up there now in the MVP discussion because of that. And, yeah, Magnay has to be there for most improved. I like that. Yeah, I'm not going to argue with you.
All right, I'm going to move on. Best six man, Brandon Ashley, Clint Steindl, Daniel Kickett, Eric Griffin, Jason Kadee, Kyle Adnam, Mirko Jerick, Nate Jawai, Sean Bruce, Will Magnay.
Mm. I'm
going to add one thing in there. Mirko Jerick has got to come off the bench. It depends if he qualifies by the cutoff date of Feb 10. So it depends what happens this weekend. But let's just add him in there because I don't think he's going to win it anyway, but I just thought I'd throw that out there. Who you got? That is a tough one.
Look, honestly, gee, that is a tough one because if we've gone Magnay for most improved, there have been, I think in the last few years, there's been people who have won the most improved and best sixth man.
Yeah, but I'll argue that he's been the best, most improved starting.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever game. So, and I don't disagree with you. To me, the two that sort of, you know, prick out to me when I look at this would probably be Brandon Ashley and Daniel Kickett.
Really? I would have gone Sean Bruce and Kyle Adnam. Like what Kyle brings. I really like what Kyle brings off the bench.
Yeah, yeah, no.
And
yeah,
Bruce has had a great first three quarters, first two thirds of the season. Maybe hasn't been quite as good in the last little while, or quite as imposing. But he's had a pretty good year. I would not be surprised to see Sean Bruce win it. And wouldn't that be just a great thing, given where his career has gone?
Yeah, I think that's great. I'm going to go Brandon Ashley because I just love what he brings to that team. I just don't know if they've got enough in them when he's humming, he's great. But you could argue, you know, and please, our listeners, come through, have a crack on us on social media. Let us know your thoughts because that's one of the toughest ones. Who'd you pick? You're going to Kyle?
I'm going with Sean.
Sean, you said that. Okay. Defensive player of the year, I'll be quickie. Andrew Bogut, Cam Oliver, Casper Ware, Dane Pinot, DJ Newbull.
There's your winner.
Yep, Mitch McCarron, Sunday Deck, Will Magnay, we all agree. Well, you and I agree, DJ. Yep. Now, this is the one I wanted to talk about, Rookie of the Year. Now we know who's eligible. Anthony Fisher, Cairns, Angus Glover, Illawarra. I'll just go Ethan Rushbatch, he's from New Zealand. George Blagonagic, from Cairns. Jordan Hunter, Kwat Noi, LaMelo Ball, RJ Hampton, Sam Frolling, Sam McDonald, Terry Armstrong, Wani Swaka from Perth.
All right, well, if LaMelo Ball's eligible, he wins.
Yeah, so the three to me that you would put that on is RJ Hampton, LaMelo Ball, and Kwat Noi.
Now, Kwat Noi hasn't played enough. He's been out for
half the season. He's been injured, but he was really good. Like, he was right up there.
He was, not disputing that.
Yeah, RJ Hampton, just if you're going to give, well, if the next star can get it, there's no way he's going to get that full before LaMelo because he was just unbelievable. Yeah. Sam Frolling, I love what he brings, just hasn't played enough. You could Angus Glover had a great rookie season, if that's right.
I'd be happy for him to win it. But
he won't, though. You can't give that before him. And the other guys, I think they've been solid, but just not enough to go for there. So we do believe LaMelo Ball to get that one. So that's the awards. And as I said, that's going to be handed out on February 16. And I look forward to seeing that.
Here comes Nudge's Nasty.
I don't like it when players go over the top when they do something good. Block a shot, throw down a dunk, and then carry on like a pork chop. I don't like it. I'm not a fan of that. But I am a fan of emotion, some emotion. And I thought the tech foul that was given to Sean Long in the game between Melbourne United and Brisbane after he had dunked on Will Magnay, who is probably the number one blocker in the league, shot blocker. He had every right to just flex and get a bit excited, and there was nothing too much about it. Like, Magnay wasn't too upset. They were chatting down the other end of the court a little bit later. I mean, he gets a tech for that. Now, bear in mind, Brad, this is Indigenous round where things are going on in the stadium that are stirring the emotions. This is Kobe Bryant round, where things are going on in every stadium, stirring the emotions. And then you say, oh, wait a minute, mate, you're showing a bit too much emotion there. Tech foul. That's just bullshit. Come on. That's ridiculous. Get with the program. Now tell me what your Rosen Rattler would be.
Uh-oh. Rosen's Rattler.
Well, me, I've got to give it to the Wollongong Council. Now, I don't know if I have that right. But to have a roof that leaked, I saw some newspaper articles and stuff where, you know, it's the council really have to do something, you know, to be able to have teams play. The NBL is a world-class league. We've said that, right? It's fantastic. Yep. And if they're going to play in stadiums that they're going to play in, like you look at some of the stadiums, they're phenomenal. You know, the Kings is great. Adelaide moved up. Melbourne's phenomenal. You know, RAC Arena leading the pack. The Hawks is a great venue. I have been there heaps. I've played there. I've been an assistant coach to a grand final series there. And now I've commentated there. When that place is humming, it's one of the best places. But to have a game stop because of a leak, that basically saying maintenance not's being done. Yeah, that's a Rosen Rattler for me. Come on, Wollongong, get behind your team. Body, we're getting to the end. I want to have a quick chat about your blog, botinagy.com. Talk to me. What you got this week?
Oh, all kinds of things. We've got one on Noel Willacott, who's well known in South Australia as the provider of the Willacott Medal, which is the best player in the state in the men's competition. But no one knows his backstory, and he's going into the Hall of Fame on Friday, the Basketball SA Hall of Fame. And I've been really delighted to be able to do a piece on him and flesh out that this man actually should have been the very first person to go into our Hall of Fame. So I hope people don't mind a bit of an extended read, because it's there.
Well, you've got to get onto it, and I'm not saying it because I do a podcast with Body. I've been reading his articles for years. They're great. You know, I've looked at this week. There's something about the MVP with regards to Lamar Patterson. He then wraps up each round. He has his quirky stuff. He has his dad jokes. He has everything in there, so it's fantastic. We can't finish this segment without talking about Paul Smith and the Twitter feed that happened. Talk to me.
Look, I just think I understand what Paul Smith is doing. He likes to generate a bit of controversy, and controversy creates cash. That's the old saying. But sometimes you just got to know, you got to pick your moment, pick your mark. And I think he was right off in having a crack at Perth's Indigenous uniform. I think he was out of line. I think his subsequent statements were a little bit lame and not strong enough in terms of coming out and stepping off what he'd said. But, you know, I don't mind the fact that he's out there on Twitter and social media and trying to stir things up, but there comes a time where you got to go, no, that's not a particular area I need to be saying anything about.
So, yeah, look, it's an interesting one for me. Yeah, I've known Paul. Actually, he branched out to me at the beginning of the season. Never met the guy, branched out and said, mate, why don't we catch a coffee, which just blew me out of my mind. You know, I've seen owners come and go at the Sydney Kings that, you know, faster than the Wollongong Entertainment Centre has a leak. You know what I mean? Like, just unbelievable, right? And for him to ring and say, let's have a coffee, like, I'm a nobody in a sense of this team. And he came to my office, right? And he's like, we went down the road and we had a, we had a cup of tea and a coffee, and I couldn't have been more impressed with him. His vision, his passion for the team, his passion for what he wanted to give his players, and I was really impressed. And everything he does, I watch him before games, and he pumps people up, and he just wants to have fun. And I call him like the Mark Cuban of the NBL.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? He's just you know, like that. But I must admit, when I read the comments, I was like, oh yeah, that one maybe. I don't know if he meant it like that, because knowing him, I don't think he would ever mean anything personal, but it certainly came across a different way. I then saw that he branched out and spoke to Luke Longley, obviously, who's part of the Kings, and he got, you know, in touch with the man. And I'm glad that it was able to be settled. But I must say, I saw two sides to that. One, I know the guy, and it was very weird. But reading it, it was certainly one that I was shocked about.
All right. Good night. See you next week.
Guys, thank you for listening. It's been great to have you again. All 17 listeners, Body, are we? What are we up to now?
017 makes me.
You said it was three-figure. Subscribe, like, review, and follow us on Twitter, Instagram. Don't forget, the best writer. BotiNage.com, BotiNage.com. We'll see you next week.